Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hi, friends. My name is Dave. I'm on the ministry team here and happy to be sharing. I do want to begin by saying Happy New Year. A new year is in front of us. And oh, the hope and inspiration that can be for us. Would want to say to you, if there's any way that our ministry team here can come alongside you, can be an encouragement or blessing to you, let us know. We want to be there for one another. We want to build community and would make ourselves available for that. Well, today we begin a very short New Year series called We Pray. And I'm happy to be sharing alongside Luke and Kirsten in this short series. Take your Bibles. I draw your attention to Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 to 25. Allow me to read that. There were many priests under the old system, for death prevented them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he is able, once and forever, to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. First and foremost, in this passage, the writer is reminding us that Jesus is the one and only that fulfills the Old Testament law. As we read in the Old Testament, the people of Israel's daily routines were shaped by the responsibility of communion with God. The law required of them to bring offerings and sacrifices to the priests for a multiple of many reasons. Let me name a few. Offerings were brought to the tabernacle, to the temple, to make restitution with God, to express devotion to God, to present an offering for the atonement of sin, or perhaps to express gratitude. So imagine with me deciding as you would head to your place of worship, knowing that before you went and before you headed out, you gather your family together to review everyone's behavior in light of the requirements of the law, and then you find family consensus on what was suitable to offer or to take to worship. Your choices, according to the Old Testament law, would include such things as perhaps carrying a lamb in your arms to the tabernacle. Perhaps you would be placing a leash or somewhat restraining item around an ox and bringing an ox to the temple, perhaps a goat, a dove, some grain or flour. This would go on day after day, week after week, each festival, each feast, each daily and weekly rhythms of life and living. When you imagine that in January of 2025, you go, well, that's a very different form of worship, and truly it is. But let me remind you today, I think it's very important for us to remember today, that it is the same God that we pray to and worship in the way that we do. It's the same God that required of his people such a long time ago to fulfill all these requirements of the law. We pray to and worship the same God that asked his chosen people, Israel, to carry the burden and responsibility of the law for centuries and centuries. It's the same God. It's the same God. So the question, perhaps, as we begin this short series, and appreciate the Old Testament, the New Testament, and what that has to do to us, the question, perhaps we begin with, well, what happened to all of that? All that law and all that requirement, all that burden, what happened? What happened to God? Did he change his mind? Malachi 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. So what's happened to the narrative? What's happened to the communal experience? It's quite a contrast. We now hop in our cars as we consider moving to a place of worship. Many, myself included, would stop and grab a Starbucks and arrive, welcomed by greeters at the front doors of Living Waters Church. We move into an auditorium after talking with some friends. We're led by worship from an awesome musical team, and we study the Bible together. In the midst of that, we pray, we worship open-handed, and genuinely feel and sense the presence of God. Well, what's happened? What a contrast from the Old Testament, picking up flour and grains and doves and heading, and now we pick up perhaps really not much at all. What's changed? What's changed? Well, the difference is between what the Bible describes as the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Let's talk about that just for a few minutes. Galatians chapter 3 says that before God made the Old Covenant through Moses, he made a promise to his people through Abraham, and this promise was a prophecy related to a New Covenant. And you can read all about that in Genesis chapter 15. Later in the Old Testament, long before Jesus was born, Jeremiah wrote a more direct prophecy about a new covenant coming. And it's worded this way in Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. So in the old covenant, God wrote his laws on tablets of stone for them to follow religiously. Now, under a new covenant given through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit writes his laws on the hearts of his people, and the new temple is our lives, and the holy place is our hearts. Catch that? The new temple is our lives, and the holy place is now our hearts. In Luke chapter 22, we read how Jesus instituted the new covenant at the Last Supper. And we talked about this last year, the emblems that Jesus introduced in Luke chapter 22, the cup that is poured out for us, the bread that we partake of representing Christ's broken body. See, friends, the old covenant wasn't defective, but it wasn't meant to last or continue forever. The old covenant was given for a limited time because there was something far greater coming, a new covenant gifted to us through Christ's perfect and redemptive work. For the old covenant placed a burden and a yoke upon people that saw God's people repeatedly turn away from God, such creating a longing for change within their lives, someone to take away the burdens of the Old Testament law and requirements. Galatians 3 says that the Old Covenant, or the law, was meant to lead all people to Christ. Perhaps like scholars would suggest, it was kind of like a schoolmaster teaching God's people to look ahead to Jesus and the promise of the gospel. And so now that we have the promise or the reality in Christ and the new covenant, we are no longer under the old covenant. We've been set free from that. God's moral law, summarized in the Ten Commandments, always binds people, but the sacrifices, rituals, and civil laws that were part of the old Mosaic covenant are gone. We are not under Moses, we are under Jesus. And that's the beauty of what we read about in Jeremiah 31 and our text, Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 to 25. So how does all this work? Through Jesus's perfect life and sacrificial death for us on the cross, again, Jesus fulfilled the law. He did everything the old covenant required. And therefore, as we confess our sin and acknowledge the work of Christ on our behalf, we become justified in God's presence because of Christ, not because of what we're trying to do, but what rather Christ has done for us, so that we are now free from the commitment to and the condemnation of a law. We now have a new binding covenant because of Jesus Christ. So going forward, what about going forward? Here's three simple thoughts. Number one, Jesus once and for all saves those who come to God through him. Catch that. Jesus once and for all saves those who come to God through him. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So Jesus saving denotes the recognition of sin and then a gift of salvation of the soul, deliverance from sin, and the granting of eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus. That's a huge gift. That's a huge gift. All that we receive in Christ. Number two, because Jesus lives forever and his priesthood lives forever, our salvation is forever. It's eternal. John 3, for God so loved the world, he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The reason it's eternal is because Jesus has been raised from the dead and lives for eternity. So his ministry continues and we benefit eternally from it. Jesus saves us while on earth and brings us with him to eternal life, to live forever. And number three, Jesus now lives to make intercession with God on our behalf. A couple thoughts on that. Jesus, again, in the Old Testament, the mediator was the law and the sacrificial system. In the New Covenant, we still need and benefit from a mediator, but it's not us, and it's not a pastor at Living Waters Church. The mediator is Jesus Christ himself for each and every one of us. God looks at us through Christ. Hebrews 7 says he lives forever to intercede with God on our behalf. He lives interceding on our behalf. He's a mediator. So as we pray, we have a mediator and it's Christ, and we need to appreciate that. Again, certainly seeing the contrast of what the Old Testament requirements look like. As Christ makes intercession for us, he's a mediator, he's also a messenger. We pray to Jesus and we hear from God. You've perhaps experienced that in times of prayer. As Christ intercedes, he mediates, and he also allows us to hear in those beautiful, quiet, tender moments through the work of his Spirit. We hear his messaging. We hear his thoughts. We're in a dialogue with him. And there's two-way communication. And thirdly, because he makes intercession for us, we are privy to him and the expression of him as a miracle worker. Matthew 19:26 says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So as we pray, we are participating with a mediator. We're receiving messaging as he talks to us, and we're potentially benefiting from the miracles that Christ does on our behalf. How beautiful. God loves us so, so much. In Nikki Gumbel's Read the Bible in a Year resource, he tells of a beautiful story. In February 1977, Bishop Festive Converger was part of a group of church leaders who delivered a letter of protest to the dictator Idi Amin, speaking out against the beatings, arbitrary killings, and unexpected disappearances taking place across Uganda at the time. The next day, Festo Convergence friend and leader Archbishop Luwum was murdered by Idi Amin, and Bishop Festo was driven into hiding and then exile. Soon afterwards, Festo Converger published a new book entitled I Love Idi Amin. In the book, he explained the extraordinary title. The Holy Spirit showed me that I was getting hard in my spirit, so I asked for forgiveness from the Lord and for grace to love President Amin more. And this was fresh air for my soul. I know I'd seen the Lord and been released. Love filled my heart. Love is more than a feeling or an emotion. It's a decision about how we treat one another. And goes on to say, Jesus was the supreme example of love in the history of the world. He tells us to love God, to love one another, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and even to love our enemies. Many things to be said about the story. One thing that I would want us to draw from this beautiful example of love, agape love, is that we need to remember that God loves us. God loves us. And the caption that is written over your life, written by Jesus Christ himself, is, I love you. I love you. I love you. And this love will always be the strength of your human story and our human story. It's the love of God. And oh, to think of the great lengths that Jesus demonstrated as he came to earth to fulfill the law and now serve as our mediator, a messenger, and our miracle worker. So in closing, let me remind you, prayer starts with appreciating what we're invited into and why we're invited into it the way we are. Our text in Hebrews 7 reminds us that as we pray, we accept the invitation of the most holy relationships on full display in the Old Testament. It's the same God looking for the same holiness that we find in Christ. As we pray, we look to Jesus who is looking at us. We look at Jesus who is looking at us. What a beautiful image of what it's like to have prayer become so personal for a person. Prayer is looking at Jesus, look at us. As we pray, we talk to Jesus who is talking to us. And he does it through his word, he does it through his spirit. But as we pray, we speak and we listen because Jesus is a messenger while we pray. And finally, as we pray, we carry a renewed appreciation for the revelation that our Heavenly Father looks at Jesus, our forever high priest, who is looking, caring, and loving us. A beautiful picture through the work of his Spirit, we see the Trinity. So, yeah, as we close, the title of this three-week series is We Pray. We Pray. We want to invite you and encourage you to pray. I want to encourage you to prioritize prayer, to study prayer, to appreciate how communion with God was initiated through an Old Testament covenant, now fulfilled with Christ. Wow, as we pray, we fall in love with all that Jesus Christ offers us. We want to encourage you this month to talk about prayer, to talk to people that pray. There are many within our Living Waters community that pray. They literally pray. And we need to get close to these people to learn, to appreciate, to hear the stories, to see how they grow and mature in relationship with their Jesus and Heavenly Father. We need to get close to people that pray. And finally, we need to invite people to pray. And certainly through these 3 weeks, myself and Luke and Kirsten, we want to invite you to pray. We're all learning together. but we're moving in a great direction again as we discover the gift of prayer that Jesus wants us to benefit fully from for his honor and for his glory. In closing, let me read from Philippians chapter 4, where it says, "Friends, do not be anxious about anything." Good words for a brand new year. "But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And everybody said together, "Amen."
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.